We're continuing our studies in Hebrews chapter 11. We're studying the cloud of witnesses that encourages us to please God by living by faith. Last Sunday, we looked in between verses 29 and 30 of Hebrews 11, and we noticed, let me just read Hebrews 11, 29 and 30, where it says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." So studying between verses 29 and 30, we find that there is no acts of faith, only in the Red Sea and at Jericho. Last Sunday we brought out the fact that we have enemies, and our enemies are basically the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in Ephesians chapter 2, by way of review from last Sunday, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." In other words, you were politically correct. Of course, that term just became vogue. But anyway, you let the world mold you and conform you to itself. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Well, the prince of the power of the air is Satan, the devil, and he uses the world to mold us, as we know. And then in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh," lust of our flesh, "fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." When the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea or went through the Red Sea, they were buried, having died to the world, which is a picture, Egypt portrays for us. In the wilderness, they were dealing with the flesh, and they never got the victory over the flesh. And so therefore, we don't find faith operative in the wilderness, and they perished or they died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see that verses 1 and 2, "being dead to the world. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Baptism is a picture of death. Baptism is a picture of burying somebody who had died. Then when we get into the study of Jericho, we move over into Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 4, verse 23, we see how that the children of Israel experienced a similar event in their life when they went through the Jordan River. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until ye have passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." The children of Israel died to the world, and by passing through the Jordan River, they died to the flesh. And until you die to the world, in other words, the world hasn't got its influences in your life, and when you have died to the things of the flesh, you have that under control, you're not prepared for battle. Because that's what the children of Israel entered into the land of Canaan to do. To do battle with the other enemy, which will never go away. And that's the devil. So in Canaan, the children of Israel are in a warfare against the third foe. And if we are still consumed with the world, if we're still consumed with the flesh, we will never have our mind upon our enemy, the devil. And we will live defeated lives as we seek to inherit our heavenly inheritance in type. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we see the objective that God gave to the children of Israel. When it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Here they receive the objective. We need to know what our objective is when we have victory over the world and the devil. This is a warfare. Crossing over the Jordan River, as you sing in the hymns, is not going to heaven. Hopefully in heaven, the devil will be taken care of, and we will be at rest, and we will be at peace, and we will be enjoying the Lord. Going over the Jordan River and going to battle with the enemy is not a picture of heaven. But we need to know what the object is. What was the object of going into the land of Canaan? That is, to possess the inheritance that God had given them. And we need to know that objective. We need not to forget that objective. If we forget that objective, then you're going to wonder, what in the world am I doing here? Why am I getting shot at? Why are these fiery darts landing so close? So we need to know the objective, and that is our inheritance. Another thing that will help us in keeping focused on our objective is the Word of God. The Lord told, I've got my pages shifted here. In Exodus chapter 32, we see that it's the inheritance that they were to be focused upon in verse 13. Exodus 32, 13. "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and shall this land, in all this land that I have spoken of, will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." The object of their warfare was to receive the inheritance that God had promised to them. We are to do the same thing. And we have that exhortation in Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that we need will be added unto us." We don't have to be worried about food, clothing, and shelter, because they will be taken care of. If we're taking care of what's important to God, God will be taking care of what's important to us. And so we are exhorted to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness which is of faith. That's the righteousness that he's referring to here in Matthew 6:33. Paul expressed it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the above calling of God in Christ Jesus." The inheritance is a prize to be won by defeating the enemy. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is free because it was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. The inheritance is not free. The inheritance is based upon service. Inheritance is based upon the warfare. And one thing that we need to understand is this. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Satan can't change that. You're forever in the family of God. But what Satan can do is that he can defeat you and cause you to lose the blessings that God has for you by causing you to be unfaithful and to depart from the living God. So Satan, that's his objective. He wants you to quit and to do something else. Now, the focus in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 9 is on his faithfulness. We need to focus upon God's faithfulness to who? To us. We need to know that God is not going to forsake us. We need to know that God is going to be with us. And that's what the Lord told Joshua, beginning in verse 5. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We need that message. Because if we don't have that message, and if we don't know that for sure in our hearts, when the conflict is heavy, and Satan is using our friends to defeat us, because he will, and he will use even those in the church to cause us to stray. When We need to know the fact that God's not going to leave us, neither is He going to forsake us or fail us. We need to know that. That needs to be a given in our life. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Another thing we need to be is strong. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Well, we know that the Word of God encourages us to be strong in His grace, because the grace of God is the power of Christ. But I think this strength here is also can be included, that's confidence. Confidence that what God has promised, He will make it good. And we need to be of good courage. We need to realize the fact that there's going to be some battles lost, that we will fail, that we will miss the mark. But that's not a time to lay down and huddle up in a fetal position and let Satan and his host run over us. But we need to be strong. We need to know that this land is going to be divided and we will participate in the inheritance that God has sworn to our, has promised to us. Verse 7 says, "Be thou strong and very courageous." My, he just got through saying that in verse 6. Why is he saying it again? You know why? Because by the time you get to verse 7, you've already forgot to be strong and of good courage. And God doesn't want you to forget that. He wants you to remember that. Be strong and very courageous. Be bold, in other words, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Not only are we to be strong and good courage, we need to be obedient. We need to observe the Word of God and the law, and not to turn from it. Not to turn from it. In fact, the way you keep from turning to the right hand and to the left is not to let this book depart out of your mouth. In verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." How do you do that? Well, you can take your Bible and read. That's the hard way. You can memorize it, and that way it can be on your lips without any trouble. Particularly at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. If you're sleeping in with someone, it's not much fun for that individual for you to turn on the light and get your Bible out so that you can muse on the Scriptures. It's good that you can have the Word hid in your heart, that we can meditate on it whether day or night. And it tells us, and it continues in this verse, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all," or to do according to all that is written therein, "for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Success here has to do with the enemy, over the enemy. A lot of times we think about it, if we just do certain things, we'll be rich. That's not true. The Lord has promised to supply our need, not our wants. So, we will prosper in the warfare. And then he continues in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee?" Oh my, here he's saying it again, "Be strong and of good courage." Well, he did give us an extra verse in there. He didn't figure we'd quit, forget that quick. You know what? We need to be reminded over and over and over again to be strong, to be courageous. Be not afraid. We can become fearful. Did you know that the spirit of fear can bring us into what? Bondage. We have not received the spirit of fear, again unto bondage, but we have received the spirit of His Son, the spirit of sonship, anticipating ruling and reigning with Christ. And don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed or terrified. And we We really haven't had some of the experiences that I'm sure that some of the martyrs have had when we think of what they went through. But we're not to be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's with you. We need to also to know the enemy. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Viewing the land established the fact that the land was flowing with milk and honey. But he says, I also want you to check out Jericho. That's the first enemy that needs to be defeated. So we need to know the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that about the enemy and our preparation for the warfare. In Ephesians 6:10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we need to be appropriating the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. That power of His might is available to the ones believing, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and placed Him at His own right hand that we might enjoy the power of Christ in our life. Not only are we to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might, but we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil would knock us down, we need to stand. When you're down, you could be out. This is the reason why it's so important to have people around you that are standing to help you to get up. You know, we need that. We need encouragement from each other. And notice that it's to put on the whole armor. Don't leave anything out. Just for, you know, if you left off the breastplate, just for sure, you know, the devil can see that you're walking around without any protection here. Or if you left off the helmet, or if you left off the sandals, next thing you'd know, you'd be in the grass spurs that we talked about last Sunday. And when you got grass spurs in your feet, you're not thinking about the enemy. You're thinking about aching feet. So, we need to put on the whole armor. And then we need to be reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places or in heavenly places. Our warfare is in the heavenlies. We often think that it's the flesh and blood around us, but that's not really the enemy. Satan may use the flesh and blood around us, but Satan is the true enemy, and he will use any means he can to defeat us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Satan says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If we are ignorant of his devices, Satan does have a definite advantage over us. If we don't know how he operates, we can be caught off guard. 2 Corinthians 11:3 tells us that he is a beguiler. He is a corrupter. He is subtle. Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Where is Satan going to work? He's going to work on our thought life. Obviously, we know that Satan works in the physical realm as well because of Job. Job suffered grievously. Loss of income, loss of family, loss of health. And I would not call those around him good friends. And I don't think his wife was his best friend when she said, why don't you just curse God and kick the bucket? Anyway, we know that he operates in the physical, but he operates more in the mental than often he does in the physical realm. And so we need to be aware of that. And where does he operate? He operates in the Word of God. In John 3:14-16, this is an example of how he corrupts and how he beguiles us. He takes a passage of Scripture and makes it apply in a different area entirely. And I'll show you what I mean when I read these verses here in John 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What has Satan caused the world to believe about this verse? Salvation, salvation, salvation. Guaranteed heaven. Guaranteed that you won't go to hell. You know, you won't perish. This is just totally misapplying the scriptures. This passage of scripture is dealing with Jews in the wilderness who hated the word of God, or the manna that God was providing them. And God sent serpents among them and struck them and caused them to perish. Perish like who? Perish just like Aaron perished. Perish just like Moses perished. Perish just like all those in that came out of Egypt perished in the land. This passage of scripture is dealing with inheritance. And Satan has said this passage of scripture is salvation, and you're guaranteed heaven, or you're guaranteed an inheritance, and you don't have to worry about it. But that's not true, because the scriptures teach us it does make a difference how you live. In fact, the word believeth in these verses, in verse 15 and in verse 16, is in the present tense. It means that you need to continue to believe. Not the aorist tense of salvation of Acts 16:31. So Satan will use subtlety. He will deceive. He will beguile us. And you know what happens when he puts us in this kind of a comfort zone? We relax. We don't focus on the inheritance. We don't focus on the enemy. We don't warfare to gain our inheritance. Oh, nothing can happen to us. We're God's children. And God's not going to deny us any good thing. Well, he will if you misbehave. You can count on that. Now, another thing that we need to understand is that Satan has ministers of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 14, And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Did you know that Satan has ministers of righteousness in appearance only that can deceive many? Obviously the elect are not deceived, but there are many in the family that are deceived. And Satan is a master at it. None of us are on the same level as Adam and Eve. We have never lived like Adam and Eve. They were perfect man and woman, and yet Satan was able to beat her. And if he can beat her, let me tell you, he can beat you and me. Simple, you know, piece of cake. Without the power of Christ. Without the word of God in our life. In fact of the matter, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not in the flesh, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. What are the strongholds? The casting down imaginations. What are you thinking about? What are you imagining? And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, God didn't really mean that, Eve. He's just joking. And he will tell you the same thing. These are strongholds. Our imaginations and our confusion as to the interpretation of Scripture can bring us into bondage. And Satan will do that. We need to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Satan is going to exalt himself and his doctrine against the knowledge of God. That's why it's so important for you to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, or someone who does know the Word of God to help you, then you can be brought into bondage. But we need to bring our thoughts into captivity through the Word of God unto the obedience of Christ. Now, in Joshua chapter 4, in verse 19, it says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." Notice it's the first day, or the 10th day of the first month. What was happening in Egypt on the 10th day of the first month? They were preparing for the Passover, weren't they? Here they crossed through the Jordan River. And on the at the beginning of the preparation of the Passover, Joshua chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho." This is the first time that they observed the Passover since they left Egypt. They did not observe the Passover for over 40 years. And though God commanded them to do it every year. And you know what that means? They were not applying the blood yearly. Because that's what you did at the Passover. You applied the blood. No wonder they couldn't have victory over the flesh. They applied the blood in Egypt, but they didn't apply the blood while they were walking in the wilderness. Now here, the blood is being applied because we need the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to defeat the enemy. Without the shedding of blood, there is no deliverance. And I have never seen anybody in... Well, I've never been in a POW, but there's not many people in prison or in prisoners of war camp shooting at the enemy. They're in bondage. Anyway, I'm sure that they, a lot of POW camps, they were working their way out and creating havoc for the enemy that they could. But anyway, we need the blood. They needed the blood. And then they kept the Joshua 5:10, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho." There was also a change of diet in Joshua 5:12, and it says, "The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." You know, feeding upon the blessings of the inheritance will encourage us in our walk. Manna is a picture or a type, as far as I can see, is of the milk of the Word. We need to get off of the milk of the Word and on to the meat of the Word. And feeding on the blessings or the food of the land of our inheritance will help us to be strong. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You know what's going to happen in the land of Canaan? There's going to be decisions that you've got to make. And Achan didn't make a very good one, did he? What got to Achan? The flesh. He saw that wedge of gold, that silver, and that change of raiment. He says, that would sure look good on me on Sunday. No, on the Sabbath, excuse me. He didn't make good choices. He wasn't feeding like he ought to be feeding. He wasn't on the meat of the Word. He was on the milk still. Now, we need to consider our heavenly calling. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." We need to appropriate the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? because He was raised from the dead to keep our hope alive. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we receive a heavenly calling for a heavenly inheritance. We're seated together with the Lord in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 1 says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where should our hearts and thoughts be? In heavenly places, our heavenly inheritance. Because this hope, a living hope, is for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That is faith that is not departed from, nor made shipwreck. Let me just bring this out, and then we will close with this. It says that God had begotten us again unto a living hope. When the children of Israel went through the Jordan River, it was a new beginning for them. Just like it was a new beginning for the fathers in the land of Egypt, this day shall be the beginning of years and days for you. They observed the Passover when they crossed through the Jordan River. This was a new beginning for them, because they were anticipating their inheritance in the land that God had promised them. May the Lord help us to apply these verses in our lives, that we might stand approved in His presence someday at the judgment seat of Christ. Father, I just pray that You would help us to learn from the lessons taught in the Old Testament concerning the children of Israel that wandered in the wilderness, Moses, Joshua. Lord, these are so very important to us today in applying them in our walk with You. Help us, Father, to value the heavenly inheritance, and help us, Lord, to know that it's not sure. Just as Achan perished, others perished in the warfare. And help us, Father, to be aware of Satan's devices and to prepare ourselves that we might be faithful to You in this warfare, that we might enjoy the blessings that You have for us if we'll be faithful to You. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.